You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill again. How are you? Well, we're back again this week. Looking for another, my God, the hotline was full of calls last week. Maine, North Carolina, Florida. And, one was just before the show. So it's been pretty, plus our people out here have been having a lot of activity going on. I want to thank everybody, all of our listeners and our Bigfoot family friends for, sharing with us emails, guest book entries, and, giving me heads up on different things. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're gonna go right into this. And what we're gonna try to do here, I'm gonna sort of double things up. During the week, Steve from New York and Richard from New York got together, and they went out together for a while, besides doing their own independent research. They got together and went out and had quite a bit of activity going on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Steve on first, and then we'll blend Richard in, and it'll just kind of go from Steve to Richard, and then both of them, you know, going through the what they did. Okay, so we're gonna go out here to Steve. Steve, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, buddy. How you feeling?
I'm much better.
Thank God. That's the best news I heard today. That's great, man. Listen, buddy, I've had a pretty busy week here. To be honest with you,
I'm going to put Richard on now.
Yeah, put him on.
That way, in case we need to ask him questions, he's ready to go.
Sure.
Richard, you are on.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Fantastic.
You go ahead.
All right, listen, this week, first of all, I heard Hal during the week, you know, in the woods and stuff. And I went out, I guess, on Sunday, and I haven't been out this far in a long time. Like, I haven't really gone in the woods, like, because I haven't been feeling up to it. And I went along a path that I went along with Richard a couple of days after that. And I picked up on some tracks in the ground, and I saw the tracks, and they weren't very big ones, but they were definitely footprints. And I started walking, like, you know, further down along the trail. And I noticed a tree twist, and I stopped videoing, using the video camera. Because when I walk in the woods, I always use the video camera. And as soon as I stopped and I was ready to take the picture, I started hearing a tree being pushed around, and I heard growling, and I was seeing tree knocks all at the same time. By the time I got the video camera back on, I did get about 5 of the wood knocks. And I was able to record that part.
Rocky.
And then I just gradually walked away and walked out of the woods. Now, also, during the week, I had someone staying here, and they came into my room in the middle of the night and were telling them that they were here in the house, and I heard them as well, okay? And then when Richard came, it was very interesting, and I want Richard to take over from here and start talking about it. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, well, we met. And at first, I didn't think there'd be anything there because of the topography of the land. But when we got into it, it's a very squatchy place. There was a lot of possible footprints and a lot of tree snaps. And there appeared to be a lot of food sources available. There was a lot of deer prints. An unbelievable number of frogs hopping around. It'd be a real good area for them. I don't think too many people go back there either.
They don't. They really don't. No.
And one tree twist in particular, it was a twist, and they actually parted the, it wasn't a very thick tree, but they actually parted it in half by pulling it down, which I had never seen before. And
are those the photos you sent me, Steve?
I don't think so. That might have been something different. I mean,
you sent me a photo, and let me tell you what you sent me. I've got a whole bunch of stuff downloading. It takes almost a day to download some of these things.
Right, I understand.
But I got two of the pictures that you sent, and one was a tree, and then there was a tree set in between it, okay?
Right.
A smaller tree set in between it, like it was set in there just to, you know. And then the others were kind of like tree formation.
Right, I don't think that's the one I said. I don't think I've sent you that one yet, but I do have that picture, though. I haven't sent it to you yet. And I know exactly which one Rich was talking about, by the way, too. And I still have more stuff to talk about what happened today, but let's just get to where we were with Richard. Go ahead, buddy.
And I took a picture of a tree formation, and I swear there's a face there. I sent that to you, Marco. I pretty much know what I'm looking at when I look at the pictures. Of course, every picture is open to interpretation from other people. But I know when I'm seeing a set of eyes. They're a lot like what I've seen in my area. You don't get the whole face most of the time. You only get like the eyes and the bridge of the nose. And it's right, it's like it's in the crook of a tree, a formation, a stick structure, a tree structure, wood structure, whatever you want to call it. Which I've never seen before. Even all the times I've gone out, I've never seen one of those. He had a couple of them in his area.
I was, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I walked over there today. I went over there twice. And it gets even better, buddy. But anyway, I went with a good buddy of mine who's a retired police officer who's got a lot of experience. And he's also a hunter as well. And I showed him the tracks, and he said he's never seen tracks like that before. And he told me when he looked at them, he had no clue, you know, what idea what they were. The other thing he told me was it was definitely walking on 2 feet, and it was big. And also, by the way, he also mentioned to me the coyote tracks that we saw were very big coyotes. I mean, you remember how big the prints were, right, buddy?
Yeah. I mentioned that they're probably a hybrid between a dog and a coyote because they were too big.
Yeah. They were big. Coyotes, they were really big tracks.
They're not usually
and
that
I went,
big.
And I went out with him, buddy, and then I went out a second time. And this is going to be, this is what happened today now, the second time. I went out by myself. It was around 6:45, and I was walking around, and I looked to the far left, and I saw a creature running on 2 feet, about 6 foot tall, right in that area that we were walking yesterday, buddy, where we were to the far left over there. Remember when we were walking up the trail, and then we took a left, and we walked in a little bit? He was about 500 feet away from me.
Right. Do you remember I said I saw some
yes.
movement, and it wasn't
yes.
very big?
Yes. Yeah, this guy was about
6 feet tall. You got to remember, a lot of these creatures aren't adult creatures. They're not very big. I could have swore it wasn't no squirrel that I saw.
No, buddy, I know.
Bigger than that. That was right at the beginning, Steve. That was right at the beginning.
I got to tip my cap to you. I know. I got to tip my cap to you because not for nothing. First of all, you don't move like a 67-year-old man. That's number one. You move really, really fast. And second of all, you really are very good at attention to detail. You don't miss anything. I'm telling you right now. I was very impressed with you yesterday. And,
Thank you.
I know you have a lot more experience than I do in this. You know what I mean? And I take great pride in what I do. You know, and I'm learning every day, although I do have training, in certain things here. But I'll tell you, I was very impressed with you, and I felt very comfortable with you yesterday. That's why, I was a little bit daring yesterday, darting through the woods and everything. And I would not do that if I was by myself. Like today, for an example, I was actually videotaping when I was walking like I was doing yesterday, Richard, and, I saw it, and I put the camera towards there, and I was talking to Marco Bill before the program, if there's any way I could send some of these videos over there, because I know these guys probably have more technology, obviously, than we do to slow down the picture and to enhance it, and they could take a look. And, also yesterday, too, guys, like I was telling you, Richard, and I was telling you, Marco, when we were walking, I was videotaping the whole entire time. Now, you know how these creatures are. You know how they can hide, and they're standing there, and you don't even see them there. Now, I got something in a tree, okay? And it's got black fur. And at one moment when you see the tree, there's nothing there as far as any kind of, any dark color. And then a few minutes later, the same exact tree has dark color. And you could see the outline of something there, you know what I mean? And it's got the cone-shaped head, and it's got the big body underneath it, you know what I mean? So, we had a really good day yesterday. We had a great day today. And there's so much activity going on over here, And, when it was doing the wood knocks and it did the growl and it was moving the tree, he was telling me to move out of there, and I did. But then again, when I was with you yesterday, I wasn't really scared, because it was the first time I'd really been out there with anybody else. And it was a pleasure, Richard. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome. The tree structures, I don't know whether they're a way of marking or what, I had never seen that before. I've seen broken trees, but I've never seen trees purposely put together as a formation. Never, ever. All the time I've been going out. So I did see something I've never seen before. What basically is the reason for the tree structures? Is it...
We don't know. I mean, we don't know. We can only assume. But it's so frequent that it happens, and there's three different avenues.
the tree twists can be marking territories or also direction of where they're going. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The tree formations, different items where they make these little designs of the trees,
mm-hmm.
it would seem that either they leave them for signs, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Or also, these creatures seem to gift also. And they'll lay out gifts to, people that have been there. It's a combination of any of those. We don't know exactly. All we can do is just, keep on recording things and trying to find out what it is, what it's for.
Also,
but there's other things that you can tell where they'll take the tree, they'll snap it in half,
mm-hmm.
or they'll take the tree and snap it down and stick it upside down in the ground.
Yeah, we saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
And Marco, that one I talked about, that was a twist. And you know how you would peel bark from a tree?
Yeah.
Well, it peeled the tree in half and twisted it.
Yeah.
It peeled tree in half and twisted it down.
Yeah. And now downward. What it tells you is this, to me, first of all, it can't be any other animal that we know other than a man or something like a man that has a hand.
Right.
A man can't do it because we just don't have the power to be able to do that. I mean, the strength. Mm-hmm. So these creatures have a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's where it leads me to believe. It's hard to say that this is exact evidence, because it's not. But when you look at, when you try to weigh the differences of what it is and what it isn't, a bear couldn't possibly do anything like that. Right?
They can't grasp it and twist it.
Right.
No.
And it's only humans that can do that kind of a thing. But when it's 3 inches or more and it's twisted, try to take a half inch branch and twist it.
Right.
I
know where Steve's coming from as far as being very aware of when he's out there, because you're out there and God forbid, even if you fell and broke a leg, well, now we have cell phones, but you would be in trouble. I mean, how would you even tell anybody where you were?
Well, and that's true. I mean, that's true with anything, not because of the creature, with no communication, no other means, you're stuck out there by yourself, and it's a dangerous situation.
And it's a situation
that people get put into, and many people don't think about this ahead of time. And that's what, that's what Rocky and Swede, talk about many, many times,
right.
That you plan things out and you look ahead at what are the possibilities. What if? A lot of what ifs. What if this happens? What are you going to do? And it's just like in the wintertime. You've seen this past winter how many cars they had stacked up. Now, 16 miles of traffic behind a mountain. Well, at the bottom of the mountain was not a problem. But at the top of the mountain where it was, below zero and freezing, how many people didn't bring any kind of clothing, heavy clothing? They were in a car because it had a heater. And what happens when you're, when you don't have a heater?
You're stuck. You run out of gas.
And it doesn't take very long for the weather or your environment to take care of you. I mean, my God. And that happens a lot. I mean, that happens a lot. And so it's people not familiar with their environment and not taking into consideration alternatives when they go out. And to do that.
I would know exactly what to say, because, we went in a certain, off of a road yesterday, and I would know exactly where to tell them. I always do that when I'm down there, just in case if I do fall, God forbid. And I just wanted to mention something to you. And Richard could tell you, too, there was a lot of water there, plenty of water there for them. Like you said, you know, plenty of cover, plenty of food, and, you know, I believe they're there year-round. I just think that for whatever reason, when we were there yesterday, that I think there's just a lot of juveniles running around over there.
Right.
And I believe
and
they have a picture of them.
There was a running stream there, Marco. He's got a running stream, and you know how they love those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's another thing. You know, when you're out there, when you're doing things, mm-hmm. normally when people go out there, let's say that it's a nice day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't going to go out on a real crappy day usually, right? I mean, when it's snowing right. and raining, they're not going to go out, you know, usually, right? So, but say it's a nice day. And so, you know, they're the Boy Scout wonders. They take a look at the thing and say, oh, yeah, the sun's over here, you know, blah, 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 and they're, you know, for direction. Well, now it gets overcast and there's clouds. Now, how do you tell what direction you're in? And you didn't bring a compass.
Didn't you say there was a guy that you guys ran into that was lost, and he was less than a half mile from a road?
Yeah.
Roads?
Less than that, three blocks. He was running around circles in the middle of a swamp.
You know what, buddy, listen, I know these woods like the back of my hand. I've been living here my whole life, basically, and I know all the way around. And we only went into what I call the shallow part. And like I was telling Richard, if we would have went into left center field and went back, there's several miles of woods over there. I think that's where the big ones are. And there's more evidence in there, too, you know. But before I do that, because I have a little bit of a problem with poison ivy, I'm going to have to go get one of those shots, and I'm going to have to spray myself down because I don't want to get any ticks on me. And we're going to have to really go in there with long sleeves on and gloves. Mm-hmm. It's really woody in there, buddy, believe me. Yes.
Steve, do you remember what I told you yesterday? That during the day, we're probably more likely to see the little ones.
Yes.
Have the little ones because they're much less visible than like if an 8 foot or 9 foot tall something was running around there.
Well, I saw one running around today. That was about 6 foot.
They can just melt. Yeah. Even your place, there's trees, but it's not like rainforest thick.
Right.
It's there's a lot of trees where he is, Marco.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a real thick rainforest type, you know, like you see up in the Adirondacks. There's cover, but not enough cover in the daytime for one of them to get close to you without seeing it, believe me.
Well, you're right. On that side that we were on, that's true. But on the other side, buddy, trust me, you can't see in front of you at all. It's like that on the other side.
And most people,
next time you come, you want to go out there, you'll see it for yourself, trust me.
I think a lot of people have been in close proximity of these creatures, but their minds just don't allow them to see them.
Yeah.
They're not looking for them. They can stay hidden in plain sight. You know what I'm saying, Marco?
Well, absolutely. I mean, once you see one, same with everybody. Once you go out and once you see it, once you start looking at things that you need to look for, you're more in tune and acutely aware of what to look for evidence of things around you, right?
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
you're more apt to be able to see
things.
But if you're just out there wandering around and you hear the click in the brush, and you don't even make a second thought of it.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean it's just that kind of thing. And the other thing you've got to take in consideration. Probably about 90% of the people, when they go out, they say they're going out. It's called roadside expedition.
Yeah.
They don't go any further than a block from their car, from the road, right? Or wherever you can drive a car to with these old trails.
You know something, though? We weren't really all that far out yesterday, and we had some activity. And it's funny. Once we went into the woods yesterday, Rich picked up on something right away that he was mentioning before. We were about not even 5 feet, 10 feet into the woods, and he saw something, and we heard something. And I've seen them over there. That's the spot where other family members have seen them. There's a set of swings over there. They seem to hang out over there for whatever reason.
Sure, they like to look at kids.
Yeah,
they're fascinated by children.
I know that.
I think.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know if that's because there's a deer. There might be like a deer route over there somewhere.
Oh, there's deer print, Marco. There
all
was
over
deer
the
prints
place.
All over the place.
Yeah, we got
deer
tons
tracks.
Of deer here, buddy. I
all
was hoping that we
place.
Would see one.
Well, let me ask you a question.
In front of us.
Are there you know, blackberries, berries
yeah, there
of
is.
Different sorts and stuff like that?
Yes. We didn't see any yesterday, but I know exactly where they are.
And
no,
well,
are,
I mean,
most
places where they do that, I mean, they have it there, and that's those
right.
are the kinds of areas. I mean, they eat the berries, they eat
Marco
meat,
frogs.
They eat all of it.
There were so many
frogs,
buddy. We were stepping on the frogs all over the place. They ate frogs.
Mm-hmm. Well, they like clams, too.
There was,
yeah, we
there
had
was
those there.
Frogs. I saw skunk cabbage. I saw deer prints. There's plenty for them to eat, and that's just...
Mm-hmm.
That's just a, maybe a quarter of a mile
fish.
In.
Yeah, we didn't,
that's
you
a
know,
quarter
and
of a
also
mile
too,
in.
We
didn't
went,
go
we
much
did
farther
wrap.
Than that.
No, we did it. We went in and we did a lap around over there. And in that area we were in, I've had a lot of activity. We went right about at the same exact spot where the log was thrown over my head that day, buddy, that I've mentioned on the air. And, you know, I was kind of like shaking a little bit when I was over there.
And I
By
said
the way,
to
that
Steve.
Log's gone now, not there.
I said to Steve, I said, probably because there's two of us here, you're not going to get the activity you normally get. You know, they won't be quite so bold.
You know what I wanted to tell you, too, Richard? Remember the first stream we saw when we went in? That one goes all the way up into the area that I told you about. Where
right.
Up there, I mean, you mentioned something about Indian territory, but that's what that is up there. That area
yeah.
over there is where I've done my calls, and I've gotten responses up there from a... what I believe is the alpha male, the one I probably saw a couple of weeks ago
yeah.
that is so loud that it was probably about a mile away and still I felt the vibration go through me. And I've also... I'm sorry, go ahead, buddy.
We did think we heard a wood knock.
Yes.
We did think we heard a wood knock, but I've only heard
one
wood
knock
in my whole
knock,
life, so
one.
I don't really know what I'm listening for.
Well, you heard the wood knock on my recording from the day before, right, buddy?
Yeah, I heard that,
so,
but we did hear a wood knock. We did hear a wood
yeah.
knock, and I said,
it was
I said
one,
to
it was
Steve,
only one solid wood knock. That was it, just
yeah,
one.
I said
so.
To Steve, I've only heard one in my whole life. I heard it once in my whole life in my area, and it was a very dull. It wasn't like you see here I'm finding Bigfoot, like they're banging a super bat against a super hard tree, and it's real loud. No, what I heard was very dull and like a thud more than a bang, you know?
Well, first of all, a creature isn't going to have a bat. They're going to pick up
like
an old log or a piece of stick or tree and hit it. And even as much as hitting two rocks together as well.
They actually carry on...
I'm sorry, go ahead, buddy.
They actually carry on finding Bigfoot, two bats and they hit them together, or two sticks and they hit them together lots of
yeah.
times. And it makes a real loud... And they scream. Did you ever scream, Steve? I've never screamed.
I've done the calls probably about 100 times, and I've gotten only two responses now.
Yeah, I've never screamed.
I've done it. The first time I ever did a call, guys, I got two responses at the same exact time. And
yeah,
one
well,
was from
you know what I do?
The left center field woods, and the other one was where exactly the area we were in. And one was that classic roar, and the other one was more like the, oh.
I got growled at once, and I heard them, I heard two of them conversing back and forth once. And when I go in, I don't scream. I usually start singing so they know I'm there. They probably know I'm there anyways.
They know we're there. Of course they know
but
they're
I
there.
But I start
know,
singing.
There,
I want
to
let them know so they come to, they get curious and look at me, you know?
Like you know how many have probably been close to us that we haven't even seen throughout the years? I mean,
yeah,
as
lot.
Many as I've seen, and I've seen God knows how many, I've probably seen about 14 or 15 of them altogether, you know,
yeah.
and as many as I've seen, how many have I not seen? How many, you know, and the only reason why I've seen them is because I know they're there because I know what to look for.
When
and
I'm walking
I'm blessed,
through, they probably,
you know?
They probably say, look at that big freak.
Yeah, you're a pretty big dude, man, you know what I mean? And,
yeah, well, that's why I said there was less chance of us, you being seen anything yesterday because... To a normal person, I'm intimidating, all right, because I'm a big person.
Yeah.
But so they're, you know, probably size does matter to them, and they're a little bit less bold when they see not only two, but one big one.
Well, they see a big one. They know. I think they're smart enough, you know, Marco. These things are so intelligent. I think they know that we have weapons and we're capable of hurting them. They probably have a general idea of it. You know what I mean?
I'm sure they do.
They know, and I think obviously they can take care of us no problem if it was hand to hand combat. We wouldn't have stand a chance, but they don't know what we're carrying, so that's why they're kind of like little, like, you know, they're weary of us. And then
well, I don't think they're. I think they're leery of you just because they don't want to come close. What they want to do is they're curious. They want to find out what you're doing.
Right.
Hey, Steve.
Oh, yeah, right. That's what does them in, buddy. That's what does them in. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Steve. You said I moved pretty good for 67.
If we saw an
8-foot tall creature, you would have seen me move right over you.
Yeah, well, I would have been able to run.
I would have left you behind. You would have been my tripwire. Well,
I was, by the way, Marco. I was showing Richard where the spot of where the I saw the alpha male over there, right next to the tennis courts over there. And I showed him how high he was, and you know that thing is 10 feet tall, buddy. You know, the one I saw today and the prints that we came across, although we came across a couple of prints that were pretty big that definitely weren't from a 10-foot one. But I think basically we came across quite a few prints, and one in particular, I think I sent you that picture of the print, and I showed Richard. That one was, you know, decent size. There was another one by the landfill over there on the other side that was pretty big too, right, Richard? Remember that
one? Hey, Steve.
That one was a big one, yeah.
Tell him about afterwards when I showed you the video that I can't send Marco with the one standing up and looking and turning its head.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When I swing my camera, it ducks down. That was pretty clear, right?
It was pretty clear, yeah. You know, it's just, you know.
And I can't send that.
Marco, it's just a typical, you know, Bigfoot behavior of the way they act, you know what I mean? And, you know, like I always tell you guys about the time when I saw the one in front of him with no obstruction, you know, it was just, he was swaying back and forth, you know, that's like, you know, from right to left looking. Just, you know, that's like the typical the way they are. You know, they like to squat down and move around. It was just so typical of what Sasquatches do. And, you know, it's just, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just when you see it live in front of you, and then when you get the video of it, it's not as good, but it's pretty good, you know. And I was glad that we were able to get something, you know, with the picture he took with what I believe is a juvenile yesterday that we, you know, when he was with me. And then today, when I was walking and I saw it, and I believe I recorded something now, you know, the problem I have was, unfortunately, because, you know, from getting through the chemo and everything, my hand shakes too much. You know, it's a problem I have, and camera shaking a lot. But you know what? If we could find a way for me to send these things to you, buddy, and you guys could enhance it.
Well, I want to get together with both of you, and I want to give you the links and things on how to do that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm starting to get better, thank God. You know, I'm starting to get my feet back a little bit, and I'm trying to get out. You know, I've been out 3 days in a row right now, and you know, and I feel pretty good, and you know, I'm very rejuvenated right now, and you know, it makes it a lot easier to do this when you have so much activity like I have right now, too, guys. You know what I mean? And again, you know, I'm blessed, and I'm very happy to be doing this.
One other thing, Marco, before we go. Now, I know you've had sightings. Have you ever had an unobstructed sighting where you actually saw one out in the open?
Yeah, I got many pictures of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you see
and that's
it,
when, and that's,
it
sorry,
affects
ahead,
your it may, it
open
makes,
field, no trees. Yeah.
It makes you crazy your whole life when you see one. And
yeah.
I've been lucky enough to have two sightings like that in my life, and I consider myself very lucky. And anybody that has a pure sighting is very lucky.
Yep.
And it's a gift, but it isn't a gift because it makes you crazy, and you start talking about it, and people think you're crazy.
Well,
because
well,
you got
the
Bigfoot mug.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
well, guys,
going?
I want to thank both of you. We're going to talk some more at the end here, and
yeah.
There's a lot of questions I'm sure people are going to have, but we're running a little late right now. And what I would like to do is thank you both for coming on. And
you're welcome.
Thanks for getting together, guys. I think it was a great
time.
We're
going to
do it more. We're going to do it more,
absolutely.
Marco.
Absolutely, we will. And next time we're going to the left center, buddy, in the left center for the woods.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute you both out. We're going to go to commercial and come back, and we're going to talk with Anthony here.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And now we're going to go out here to Virginia, to Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight, my friend?
Real busy, working hard and working in the heat, but have energy.
One extreme to another.
Yeah. I'm glad you're doing well.
So, well, tell us what's been going on.
Well, we went out over the weekend with East Coast Jack. He happened to be available. And, you know, as usual, proved to be an eventful evening. What kind of interesting that, you know, there was so much going around that he didn't he didn't make any calls or anything like that just to attract them in. You know, there seemed to be quite a bit, you know, going on all around. We were probably maybe 200-300 feet away from each other, and you know, he was with his parabolic mic and pointed in a certain direction, and I happened to be from where he was. I was behind him at that same distance, and you know, it was kind of I guess we thought we could split up and possibly you know, catch something, but it turned out to be a little more frustrating, you know, because you know, he's in one spot, you know, and he's hearing things and I can't hear them. I'm somewhere else. I can hear things. He can't hear them. You know, you would think that, you know, the sound is so loud, you know, that they'd be able to hear it, or at least his dish would be able to pick it up. But unfortunately, you know, I hadn't heard all the night's recordings, but there's definitely a lot of a lot of kind of what I've already sent you, Marco Bell, is just, you know, on a different day, you know, and so, you know, I didn't have time to, you know, make any audio clips and email to you, but I was hoping to have, you know, from what I heard so far, I was hoping to have something new, but it is quite, you know, kind of the same, or like, you know, but the no, you know, coyote sounds or like monkey chatter, you know, that kind of sounds a little off, but they definitely call them back and forth to each other, and like I said, the parabolic mic, you know, even if they're not making any noise, you can hear, you know, something big walking in the woods. So, even just hearing that, you know, it's a little intimidating there, because you just don't know what's coming. You know, it's not prancing like a deer, you know what I mean? It's something big breaking all these twigs, you know, walk into it. But it did turn out, you know, I mean, the good thing is it was another eventful night. Definitely, activity is increasing. There are times that I happen to be in the area without any recordings or anything. I just happen to be walking around just to see if anything changes. A lot of times, you know, things will look the same. But, you know, little differences here and there, and all of a sudden you'll hear them calling each other, you know, like, you know, and yeah, it just again, like I told you before, I've been getting a lot more audio than any visual, but you can hear them. They're close, but there's so many leaves out. Just even if they're small or tall, they can easily slip behind anything, and you won't see nothing.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
well, that's
good. I did have a game camera set out, and I had it, and I noticed that like with a lot of viewers, they set the game, it's kind of, sometimes you get the feeling like it's a waste of time, but I figured let me just try something different, and I put my game camera down low. I didn't strap it to anything, and we had it covered with leaves. Kind of success, kind of failure at the same time. I did get something on the game camera, but it was so close to the camera, there's nothing in focus. Again, short video clip, it's something. What it is, you just can't make out what it is. So at least I get an idea that, if I try to keep it hidden and out of sight, maybe they'll...
Well, it's working, and you're getting it tuned in pretty good.
Yeah. And again, it's the first time, I ever did it that way. So, and I'm mentioning that so that maybe, some of your listeners out there, some new and old listeners, can possibly do the same thing. But, that's the first time, I tried it. And again, just hiding it, not strapping it to a tree, anything like that. And so I have two video clips, something walking in front of it. But like I said, it's out of focus. So it's not like, you're going to see something. But like I said, I'm pretty confident. One of them buggers. One of the two got to be one of them buggers.
Well, you're doing pretty good, I think. It's pretty much something every week. And eventually you'll get the full-blown thing.
I hope so.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight to tell us about it. And I'll keep in touch with you during the week again.
Sure thing.
And we'll see you later on in the show here.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave early. But,
that's all right. No, I understand. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Anthony.
All right. Thanks for having me. Good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. Now we're going to go out here and we're going to talk with Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Marco Bill. How you doing? Are you feeling better?
I'm getting there,
yeah.
Little by little.
That's good.
Well, yeah. By golly, tell us, you've been, took a little trip and traveling around and
checking kind of the northern frontier of the Four Corners. I've been in the San Juan Mountains, and I've tried to get a hold of some people that... I'm presently checking one area where there's a cabin that apparently a Bigfoot encounter occurred, and I couldn't get a hold of the people in the second round. They weren't there this time, but it's kind of like I'm trying to just kind of give them a little quick chat, without being too intrusive of what's going on. But I have a feeling that they know there's something there. I found there's a big meadow not too far from Silverton, Colorado, where this family a couple of years ago had an encounter, and it was a chilling encounter. In fact, they didn't even sleep that night. This thing was circling the camp around the meadow and, howling and throwing rocks and things like that. There was also a little one that was seen, too, a younger one, so that's probably one of the reasons why it was so aggressive. But I found a mini shooting range that was across the meadow, probably 100 yards over. Kind of told me, well, maybe they do know something. They're just keeping their shooting skills a little high, And but beyond that, I did find a track out there. I couldn't find any newer ones right now. Apparently, when the snow had melted a few weeks ago, this is at about 10,000 feet, and there was an impression. It wasn't quite a track, but impression I found, but it was definitely at least 16 to 17 inches long, and it was set very carefully. It didn't look like this thing was running at all, but just walking very carefully. And the weird thing, though, I couldn't find another one in the area. You know, I just found that one, and I said, well, that's what we find a lot anyway. But, I'm still, that area is still in deep investigation, and I'm going to go ahead and probably let it sit for maybe at least a month. See, in our area, and maybe in other areas too, it seems like from mid-July, even possibly even early July, the activity starts coming up. So I want to be there when things are kind of heating up a little bit, you know, with vocalizations and maybe even some nighttime contact of sorts, you know. And I've heard some stories still that we're getting some howling going on down in the lower valley from Farmington. So our friend Brenda's still checking up on that stuff too.
Is that on the reservation or off the reservation?
Well, the river actually splits it. You know, it's public land on the north side of the river, and Navajo land on the south side. So there seems to be more on the Navajo side. They're still getting trailer homes and, you know, manufactured homes being hit. There's people that, you know, they buy these, they'll buy a manufactured home with aluminum siding, and then immediately they have dents on them already. You know, it's like, wow, they're definitely getting pounded by this.
I don't know what it is about aluminum siding. These things seem to like it. They like to smack it. It makes dents in it.
I mean, these people, you know, they spend their money on these homes, you know, there's something to be proud of, and then all of a sudden they get them already broken in, but, you know. But they seem to be attention getting. That's kind of the attitude I'm getting, that they're emanating. You know, they want attention when people are not really trying. They're just trying to live their life, and it's annoying, is really what it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the investigation continues. You know, we're I haven't been out as much lately. I did go up to the mountains a little late. I've been a little more busy lately.
So you've been kind of busy playing there for a while.
Yeah, that's actually still continuing. This summer, it's pretty hard, so I'm going to have to, you know, fill that in the middle. I do actually have some Colorado music gigs to do, so I might actually do some campouts, you know, where I'm settled somewhere, and after my gig, I'll just head back to the camp and see what happens.
It'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, gosh, thanks for bringing us up to speed with what's going on there.
Oh, you bet.
And, it kind of looks like there's a little bit of activity all over the place.
Yeah, that's from all the guest reports and then just other people talking about them. Yeah, it looks like they're just people are just becoming more aware. And I think with all the electronic gadgetry we have, there's a little bit more evidence coming out each time.
Sure.
Yeah.
And people are more aware of it, so they're more in tune to look for for these things.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Dave, for coming on, and we'll as soon as see you at the end of the show here, after Rocky and Sweet are done, and we'll...
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome, Markoville. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico, and next we're going to go out here to both Rocky and the Swede. Arkansas, how are you guys?
Doing good, Marco. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. A little bit better at a time here.
That's great.
Well, tell us what's going on.
Well,
now, you guys heard some of the things we were talking about with Richard and them, right?
Oh, yeah, we did. Well, I did, anyway.
Well, and then I kind of got into the show a little bit late, so I missed some of it. But sounded
I'm glad
like
they got together. That sounds like a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, a lot of things was preparation, and all these other things that people go out. When they go out into these areas, many times and they don't plan, for the worst case scenarios or anything like that. And these are things that you guys talk about all the time. And
I need to, speaking of being prepared, I need to ask the Swede if his four-wheeler is ready to go for a trip this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I serviced it here just a little bit ago. I'm ready.
Okay, I got a phone call yesterday. I've got a friend that works out up at the gym, and a friend of his from Little Rock, he told him about me and asked if it would be all right if he gave the guy my number, and said that he had something that he wanted to talk to me about. So I talked to him yesterday, and everybody that knows, that's been listening in, knows that we went out last August and stayed out last August. Do you remember what we did as soon as we left after we got off the island, Swede?
Yeah, we went and seen our secondary camp crunch down with a big tree line on our tent.
Okay, and then what?
We went to Lake Dead.
Yeah, we went to Lake Dead. Well, okay. When I talked to this kid yesterday, he told me about a place in Arkansas, and I'm not going to say where, but he said you turn off the highway and go several miles to a T, then you go several miles till it comes to a wind, then there's a big shale pit, and you go way down in the woods, and just all of a sudden you come up on a lake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sound familiar?
Yeah, real familiar. How about that?
Well, after he told me about all that, I described the lake to him, and he thought that was pretty fascinating that I knew of it. And he said that last September that his sister, his older sister, was getting married. She got married in September, and they were down here with him and his girlfriend and his brother-in-law. And, of course, the brother-in-law, his other sister, said that they went out camping. Well, the brother-in-law had been out to this lake before with somebody during the day. Well, he said that they went out there, and, you know, it was just a really, he said it was the spookiest place he'd ever seen. And
spooky.
Yeah, spooky.
It's spooky.
Anyhow, he said that they just, you know, did stuff. So they had some music going and built a campfire and they cooked and ate. Anyhow, he said that was just all. He had just got back from, not long before that, had just got back from Afghanistan, which is where he met the guy that was there at the gym, the friend of mine.
Oh, I see.
Well, he said that they had gone to bed. The brother-in-law and sister had a tent, and he had a camper shell on the back of his truck. And,
what kind of truck did he get down in there?
One Jeep and a Toyota.
Oh.
Serious four-wheel drive Toyota.
Well, I was going to say, you'd have to be serious.
Yeah, he said that they were scared to death.
So they said he had a camper truck to sleep in down there?
Yeah.
Well?
He said that it almost got tore off on the way down, but I told him that there's another way out. Said it was somewhere between 12:30 and 1 o'clock in the morning. Said everybody was already crashed out. He said he was laying there about half asleep, and he heard this big, loud splash.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyhow, he said that he got out of the truck, and he said just as he was sliding off the tailgate, another one. He said they were big splashes. He said another one. And he shined his light around there a little bit. and thinking he's going to see a beaver or, you know, something. And said he could see, you know, the water sloshing around, and it had splashed water all the way up on his truck. So,
sound familiar?
He said that they had a campfire built, so that there was somebody had already built a fire pit there. So you know where that is?
No, it'd be where we were at.
Yeah, as said,
there's only
said
one fire pit there.
Right. He said that he was parked between the fire pit and the water.
Well,
anyhow,
it
splashed water up on his truck.
Wow.
So
did you tell him that it was probably something throwing it from across the way over there?
Well, let me tell you what happened. He thought it was his brother-in-law playing a joke, and his brother-in-law come walking around the end of his truck and asked him what the hell was going on. And while they were standing there, another rock hit in the water. And he said, where they were, there was only one place that it could have come from, and that it was from the other side of the lake. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's over 100 yards.
Yeah, it's an easy 100-yard throw. I don't know a man can throw a rock as big as what we experienced that far. I know
well,
I can.
I asked him, you know, were they big rocks? And he said they had to be big rocks to make that kind of a splash. Well, he started shining his flashlight over on the other side, but he said that all he had was just like a, you know, one of the little bitty LED type things, had like three or four LEDs.
Right.
And he said he was shining it across there, and another big splash. And then he said he heard something scream. He said by that time the women were already out of the truck. And when he heard the scream, him and his brother-in-law both were carrying handguns. Anyhow, he said he ripped off a clip full of 45 ACPs across the lake, and his brother emptied a 40 Smith & Wesson, and said that they could hear something running away through the woods, and he said that the girls were screaming and crying, and so they loaded up immediately, and he said that he was so thankful that the girls were screaming and crying and wanting to get out of there. He said he was so scared. Of course, now he's only done two tours in Afghanistan, you know, with people shooting at him all the time. But he said this was something totally new to him.
Wow. Did you tell him to call in the show?
Well, I told him to call Marco, and he said that he was calling me. Because our buddy said that, you know, I would be cool about it all. And anyhow, he said that he was going to listen on his computer. So maybe there's a chance that he'll call in. But anyhow, he's
coming
in. We
need to get out there sometime. I know we'll go in August, and I really can't wait to go, Rocky, and that just reinforces that, you know, we've been spending a lot of time out and about on calls and tips and stuff, and you know, it's been enlightening and entertaining, and we have seen some stuff, but I'm ready to get back to our hot spot and get on that.
Well, he's coming in this weekend. He's coming in Friday. And he said that he would like to go back out there, but he doesn't want to go out there by himself.
We'll go out there. We'll go with him.
Well, I talked to him for about an hour, and I told him that I would talk to you. I told him that I was in.
I'm sorry I couldn't get the phone today, Rocky. I seen you called several, you know, the shareholders are in, and university's kicking my behind in, you know, with all the Walmart people in town. There's a lot going on. There's money to be made right now. That's why I wasn't around.
Yeah, we had the Walmart people, too. But anyhow, as far as the being prepared that Marco was talking about, okay, one thing that a man's always got to do when he goes out there is always expect the very worst possible thing to happen. expect, volcanoes and, meteor strikes, and just imagine the most horrible events that could possibly take place and prepare for them. And then when you get back and none of them's happened, if nothing else, you're just so happy that you got back and nothing happened that it made all the preparation worthwhile.
Absolutely. Like we've talked about that, about with the ticks and the first aid, Marco talked about, like that fella when he was deer hunting, he's lost a couple blocks from the highway. Bring a compass. Bring some, if you can't navigate by, because it got cloudy and you don't know where you're going, you can't use the sun or whatever, you don't know how to read the sign and see what side of the moss grows on the north side, that type of thing. If you don't know, get a compass. At least go in a straight line instead of in a circle. I'll never forget that, Marco telling us. That's one of them things where somebody was not prepared. And it happened all the
time. A little 50 cent compass on the end of a piece of deck cord paracord hanging around your neck will save your life.
You bet. And it don't take much to get that kind of preparation. You don't have to have a 300-pound backpack full of gear. Just use common sense and the things that the most priceless thing that you can have is something to keep the bugs off of you if it's in warm weather. If you get stuck out over there overnight, you're going to be miserable if you don't have something to keep the bugs off of you. You're going to get eaten alive. As soon as the sun goes down, they're going to find you.
One of the other things is, guys, many times when people get into a circumstance where things get a lot of pressure, they sort of lose reality. And what you got to do is remain calm and
stay put.
Think things out.
Sit down.
Yeah, think things out and stay put. If you don't have any skill or you're not confident in your skill, don't wander off and get more lost.
That's right.
If somebody's looking for you, they're going to have an idea about where you are. But if you've walked off 5 or 6 miles in who knows what direction, that's just going to make it tougher for the people to find you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's looking for you.
And now that you put yourself more in harm's way, the deeper you go in there or wherever you don't know where you're at. And,
the bear land, and
you better believe it.
Lots of things that can happen. Take a tumble and hurt yourself. I wanted to put out another little shout out. I don't know if you did or not. I got in late too on the show today, but I wanted to put a shout out for the Shopping Bigfoot website for the hats and the t-shirts again. And I wanted to do a little shout out, if you didn't mind, if we got some new listeners, some people that I met. And they're real intrigued, and they've been listening in. And I thought I'd do a little shout out for them. And Nancy and Larry, they live here in Northwest Arkansas, and I just wanted to give a little shout out. They really really enjoy the show and everything. And I told them I'd give them a little shout out, and they're really into it. And they're wanting to get in on some gear, some big searching for Bigfoot gear too. So I wanted to bring up the website.
Sure, thank you.
You're welcome.
And for the people out there, if you need to go, take a look at what we have, our store. It's www.shoppingforbigfoot.com. Shoppingforbigfoot.com. It'll take you right to the page. Everything is there.
We can't stress how important the T-shirts and the caps have been for us, for bringing people up to us to talk to us about what we do. We have found out more. We've got more information because of our T-shirts and our baseball caps than we could ever do any other way. And
it's
we
a good
let them
icebreaker, and it gets it going. And once you open that line of conversation, it's really something how people will start going, and they'll just go. You can just sit back and before you know it, you'll have a lot of information in a short period of time. It's really amazing. And then everybody wants to know where they can get a hat, So they wanted to bring up the store anyway, Marco. I know I do it quite often, but it seems like every week somebody's got wants to know about it. So whether or not they get to it or not, I always tell them about it, and hopefully everybody's getting what they need.
Sure, thank you. Well, let's open it up for everybody.
Sounds
good. Steve, Channel Giants on. Steve from New York, you're on. Snake Man, you're on. Richard from New York, you're on. Dave, Four Corners, New Mexico, you're on. And then Rocky and Sweet is on.
Hi, everybody.
Hey,
guys.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey,
Rocky, if I could teach my partner, Steve D, raw frog, we're going to top you.
Well, you know, all I can say is, you know, we can stand the competition. I mean, we're the more we get done, the quicker we'll get this all cleared up.
Rocky, tell him about the frog legs. You didn't even brag on the frog legs.
Oh, with garlic butter.
Oh,
oh man. Marco, I wish you could have got in on some of that. We should have. Air Freddy.
Tastes like chicken.
Some.
I love frog legs.
Oh, my gosh. We had a good cookout.
We could have started a frog supermarket yesterday, buddy. That we saw some.
Oh. You guys would have been in heaven.
We were stepping on them all over the place.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
We would have been in heaven.
We were in heaven because we already had the frog legs, and they were all cooked up when I got there. And so let's just say I ate so much that on the way home I thought I was just going to have to pull over and take a nap.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say, take something else.
Guys, how big is that lake you're talking about that the rocks were being thrown into?
Down with
a couple, 3 or 4 acres, maybe.
Yeah.
Hey guys, you sure they weren't jumping in the water? You sure they weren't jumping in the water? Could that have been it too? I mean, I hear stories. I've read stories about that.
They're throwing stones from across the way. Me and Rocky had to had them throw stones at us, and we actually went across on the other side of the lake over there and saw where the stones had been picked up from. Right up on that ridge, and actually, I guess from that ridge down to the lake is probably, man, I don't know, it's probably more than 50 yards. I'd be stretching it to 75 yards, maybe. It's somewhere in that vicinity up on that ridge, and across the water, it's probably a good 100, and I mean, to where we were, where those rocks were landing in the lake, I'm not kidding you, it's got to be at least, it's well over 100 yards. I'm just going to put it at that, and I don't know if man stole a 10-pound rock. 100 yards. Has to be a pretty stout guy to throw.
He needs to be on the Olympic team.
Yeah, he would be a great one for the Olympic team. Anybody throw a stone that far. And it was pretty consistent aim. That was the thing that freaked me out, was that, remember, Rocky, they all kind of landed in the same spot.
Yeah, it was a good shot. He's good.
Good shot.
He had a good arm and a good eye.
Do you guys think that they ever use rocks to kill game?
You know, I hadn't really thought about that, but I'm sure they use them as a tool.
I guarantee you
that they crush them clams in them creeks and stuff. They'll take a rock or they'll beat them against the rock. I guarantee you, because there's just not no way you can get one open without mashing it. And we've seen those. Remember when we were in South Arkansas, Rocky, and we found that big pile of clam shells that were broken?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that got our attention when we were down there. We saw that. And Richard,
well, sure
that had to been used, tool had to been used to do that, you know, a sandstone on a sandstone or something. Happening.
I have no doubt in my mind that they have enough intelligence to use tool, you know, stone tool.
I have no idea, no doubt in my mind, that if they can throw a 10-pound rock as far as that one was throwing the rocks that night, as good as he was grouping them, I don't doubt for a second that he could knock little old Doe's head off at one.
Or a squirrel?
Yeah, there you go. Or could be, anything treed, you know, he's got the advantage. But like you said, like maybe a deer running by or you know, it's like some, like Marco said, some of the hunting lairs where they ambush stuff out of them lairs. Why wouldn't he ambush something with a big stone, you know?
Well, you know, the one I saw
my first sighting when the one came across the trail on all fours, I've never seen anything move that fast in my whole life. I have no doubt in my mind they can get a deer from behind if they had to, at least the smaller ones.
Okay. When we were in southern Arkansas, the Swedes picked up a rock that was smaller than a doorknob and killed a rabbit with it about 25, 30 yards away. We ate rabbit that night. There's no convincing me that if one got lined up on, I don't know, a deer, a hog, you know, even if he didn't kill it with the rock, it's not going to go anywhere for a little while after getting hit with a rock that size.
A 10-pound rock on a hog or something would knock it completely flat.
You betcha, and then there'd just be go over there and retrieve your supper.
Yeah. You think it's possible they can pick a hog up by the back legs and slam it against a tree?
Easy. I've wondered about that, too. I'm thinking that probably a lot of that bludgeoning killing sides that's happening. You know,
well,
they don't
you
have
know,
knives or anything like that, as far as I know. I'm sure they're beating them up against something, anything they get.
I would like to see one try something the size of old pork chop on.
Well, if I did, it would give
me
a whole nother new respect about being in the woods with another handgun.
How big's old pork chop?
Man, he's a big hog. What do you weigh, Rocky? 380 pounds or something?
He was in the 350 area.
Now, did you guys shoot this hog?
Rocky did.
I did.
How big were the tusks on it? Were they big?
Oh, yeah. Big around as your thumb. Bigger around in your thumb and I don't know, top ones on that thing, Rocky, were, I don't know, what are they, 4 inches?
Oh, yeah.
Easy
those
4.
Those things must be tasty, huh?
Bottom ones kind of ground off a little bit, but you know, easy enough where you could he could definitely get to some arteries if he got into you, I imagine.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They can tear up
my
dog pretty good.
Are they tasty?
Pork chop, you could smell him from a quarter of a mile away. He's a big stinking thing. But
I'll tell you
what, the
family down there in that town down there was happy to get him, wasn't they, Rocky?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
He thought they'd had Christmas time. That old man was ready to shoot. His mouth was watering. He was sharpening. It looked like he was sharpening the knife as we were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked it. He was happy. We've donated several like that. We've carried them downtown there and little old town down there by where we come out at, and there's a lot of folks around there that it used to be a pretty big booming town. A lot of people just hanging on there now, and when they see us coming, they generally know we've got some hogs in the back of the truck, and we generally give them. We'll keep some for ourselves, but we generally, if we get a big one, we'll keep
the little babies for ourselves.
Is there a season on hogs there?
Yeah, 365 days a year.
Oh no! What they do here? Is they, if they know there's fresh roadkill deer, they'll donate them to, like, the city missions and stuff.
For food banks and stuff? Yeah, they do that
here,
too.
Yeah,
I think it's a good thing. Don't waste that protein, you know.
Yeah, they got to make sure they're fresh, though. That's the only thing.
In Arkansas, if you're hunting private land, you can hunt hogs 365 days a year. It's a little bit more iffy on government land, but it's one of those things whenever we're out there, if we get the drop on one, we very quietly just say to ourselves, look out, he's charging me, and then we shoot him.
Pretty much.
We don't have those here. Yeah.
You will. You're lucky you don't, Richard, because they're so destructive, it's just crazy how much damage them pigs can do. Crazy. Big competition for all the other wildlife because they eat everything on the ground, all the nuts that fall and all that. They eat it.
Baby deer, rabbits, snakes.
Anything alive, any kind of plant life, any kind of animal that they can kill and eat, they'll eat anything.
The turkey eggs, you know, they work the turkeys over, find their nests and eat their eggs, or their little ones, you know, they're just very destructive. All around the hogs is a big problem, and it's getting worse. Texas,
you know,
I'm sorry for the people in Texas. They have it real worse than we do.
There's no predator?
A fear of mine, truthfully, I don't worry about bears. I don't worry about hardly anything out there. But one of the things that scares me, the most is the thought of getting out there, breaking a leg, not being able to get out, and the hogs find me.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Yeah, that'd be not good. That's why we always go as a team.
With guns.
With guns, because you get stuck out there. Like I said, if you don't have nothing to keep the bugs off of you, you'll think you're going to die when they're swarming you and eating you all night.
Yeah. What we have, one of the things that they say is going to happen here is we're going to get gray wolves coming over from Canada into the Adirondacks. Now, if you had packs of wolves, that would help with that.
If we did,
and hogs. I believe they'd probably work on them hogs quite a bit.
They would, and you know what? If things keep going the way they are, it won't be all that long that the wolves and the hogs are going to meet up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they multiply worse than rabbits.
So you need a predator.
3 years of, 3 litters a year them hogs can have, and they can start breeding just right out of year. Before a year old, they'll have their first litter.
And they can have quite a few in a litter.
Man, that's the problem. See, you go out there and you say, well, we went and killed 30 hogs. You didn't do nothing. You got to kill 3,000 to do something.
Now, you think, if a creature met up with Old Pork Chop, that it would avoid it, or would it? You think it would prey on it?
I don't know.
I think as stinky as Old Pork Chop was, most anything with good sense would avoid it. But
I think that just common sense would say there'd be easier prey if he was so hungry, maybe. But you know, there's usually more. There's more opportunities, I'd think.
They're not going to take a chance. A predator's not going to take a chance of getting hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if something was to grab a hold of Pork Chop barehanded, it could stand a chance of getting really hurt, really bad. I mean, sliced and diced in a big way.
Pork Chop was big and all of that, but he was so incredibly fast.
Mike Lightning.
Yeah, it was, I mean, to see something that big run so fast through that kind of brush was just something that you'd have to see to believe. But
I don't know how fast they can run. Just say 30 miles an hour. It was running through stuff at 30 miles an hour that most critters wouldn't even be able to negotiate
it.
Hey, here's another thing. Has anybody ever heard of a Sasquatch swimming?
Yeah. Swimming?
Swimming.
Sasquatch swimming?
Stories about them swimming.
Yes.
Florida.
I've heard of it. In the water in Florida.
Hey, Mike, I'm best at this too.
What'd you say, Snake Man?
Yeah, they were spotted, was it last summer, Marco? End of last summer, they were spotted in the water swimming over by the Pat May's old Army base.
Yeah.
Swimming or wading?
Swimming.
They were swimming.
But the creatures that we're talking about, they're again, you're talking species, and some of the species down there are thinner, smaller, about 6 foot.
And they've had them swimming, like, between islands and stuff like that.
Wow.
Well, you've got to take into consideration how big a polar bear gets. They can swim for miles and miles and miles nonstop.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They live in the water.
Yep.
I'd say that they probably have no trouble in the water.
So it could have came across that lake.
All it had to do there is just walk around it, saved itself a swim. But the truth is, I think if it would have walked around the lake the night that we were there, it may have got into something a lot. It would have met up with stronger medicine than Pork Chop did.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a deal on that rock throwing thing. That was pretty pretty intense thing. And then this guy that you talk with, Rocky, that's just another reinforcement on that whole area there. That it's bizarre that it's in the same place, in the same almost. I mean, they had the truck parked right there at the same place we camped at. That's just crazy.
Well, I don't know if anybody remembers it, but sometime back I took that. You know who I'm talking about. So he took the guy that had the stroke.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I took him out there, and he viewed one.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what I was doing. I was going somewhere. You asked me to go with you, and I couldn't go.
You was pouring concrete.
Oh, I was pouring concrete.
Yeah, but anyhow, he...
Unfortunately.
He said that he would never, ever... go anywhere like that with me again.
Yeah, that scared him, didn't it?
That was it for him. It terrified him.
And I forgot about that, too. So there's three deals right there at Lake Dead.
Now, you guys take your four-wheelers into there?
We walked up at nighttime, Richard, and it's a eerie spot at night.
Oh, I betcha.
It is. It's real eerie. It's very quiet there.
It's eerie during the day.
I mean, it's eerie during the daytime. It's black water, you know. It looks like any time something might just come charging up out of that water and grab you, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those kind of places. But it's got that big ridge over there behind on the other side, and you really can't access that except get over there on foot and look around. But there's just such an escaper out there, me and Rocky said first time we saw that place that we thought that would be a great place to, you know, at least to put a camp up. There's a big stand of pine trees on the side that we were at, and it's kind of open in there, and the little breeze blows in there pretty steadily. It was a nice spot, you know, but what's turned out to be one of those things there, there's three events right there over about the last 4 years.
Now, is that a normal-sized lake for Arkansas?
Well, it's kind of a funny thing there, Richard. The beavers, we're not talking about the beavers you're talking about. The beavers that swim in the water and chew trees down.
The flat-tail beaver.
Flat-tail beavers, they dam that thing up, and the Corps of Engineers of the Forestry Service kept going down there and blowing the dam out. Because they was trying not to have it flooded, and those beavers, there's a little creek that flowed in it, and they just kept damming it up, and
now,
blow it out, and they dam it up again. They kept doing it, and they finally give up and let it happen. And they built a huge lake there.
If you told me that there was beavers in Arkansas, I would have never believed you.
Oh, there's lots of beavers here. I was talking to a cat that down at the local feed store here just the other day, and he was telling me about his pond right up there. He lives fairly close in town, actually, right here at where my farm is, and he said that the old boy had come over there and they live trapped 12 beavers out of his pond. And I would have never thought it where he lives or anything like that was happening. They caught 12 of them, live trapped them.
Well, you know, in New York State, we got great big, huge lakes. I mean, huge. And
we have some pretty huge lakes.
the lake dead is just, it's a beaver lake.
Yeah, it's a big
beaver.
Well,
they've been recently using beavers in areas where they don't normally have, like the desert areas and things.
Right.
And they've been using them to build up wildlife sanctuaries. And I want to tell you, they can change the whole landscape and countryside from a dead, dry nothing into the most beautiful place you ever saw.
Isn't that crazy, Marco, how they could do that?
I
mean, it looks like they've had heavy equipment in there building that dam, and it's all beaver built.
Right. It's
crazy.
And, what the Corps of Engineers do is they go down there, and they've put a cap on the end of a pipe, and so that they can, when it gets too much, they'll open the end of the valve and let it go out.
Let it drain down some.
Right. But what they've been doing is they wanted to try to figure out a way that they could control them and where they're building their stuff. And what ended up happening was they took recordings of running water, and they would put it in the water, and if the beaver could hear the running water, it would go out and plug it up.
Wow.
And so they could control where the beaver was running the water to.
Wow. That was pretty smart thinking, wasn't it?
Well, it took them about 20 years to figure it out.
Well, that was pretty good thinking, though, because you know that's how they react. They hear the dam leak and they go fix it.
Well, yeah, but it was pretty neat.
That is neat.
Yeah.
Learned
and so, I mean, it's kind of a natural habitat creature that builds environmental stuff right into it.
Well,
and that desert, where the desert was before, nothing growing at all, you wouldn't believe it. It was just beautiful green streams, lakes, all kinds of stuff.
Well, we can't say that for Lake Dead. It's not a beautiful. The only thing that's green is the water.
From the algae, I'm sure.
Right,
yeah.
Algae in the summer.
Waste.
But think about this, Rocky, where it's
fishing
at. I mean, if you were going to build a lake, Marco, this is out in the middle of the Ozark National Forest. It's not like, I mean, it's like very steep and, deal there going on.
Uh-huh.
For them to come up with that spot right there, down below it, below the dam wheel where it spills out, there's just a little old spot there you can get around it on a four-wheeler, and it's way downhill from there. I mean, you're talking about going way down off in a holler.
Wow.
They figured that out to put that right there, and I mean to tell you, you would have never thought it's just like a little old, like you said, it's just like a little oasis out there in the middle of the woods.
Yep.
In a sandstone place where you wouldn't even think it could even hold water, for one thing. And they mudded that thing in there and made it happen. I mean, it's...
I know, it's amazing.
4 acres big. It's a big lake.
Well, everybody, I got to tell you, we're running quite a bit late here. I just want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight, sharing, and it's been a fun time for me. I hope to see everybody next week again. And like always, keep the Bigfoot alive and keep Bigfooting. We'll see everybody next week, okay? Good night now.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
guys.
Marco.
Good night, everybody. Y'all have a good week coming up.
Good night, Rocky.
Good night.
Good night, sweet.
Good night, guys.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers
stupid questions. No one's found the floor. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, Mason, mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together. Reason for.